And it's a real question. How hungry are you, Aaron, Keith, Bootle, Benji? How hungry are we really? Anyone here, insert your own name. How hungry are you for the glory of God to break out? God has called us for so much more. And we know that God called us. We see in the beginning, Genesis 1, if you can just put that up, Genesis 1, verse 26. When God created us, it says, then God said, can we read it together? Let us make people in our image to be like ourselves. I just want to stop there. Can we repeat that together? Then God said, let us make people in our image to be like ourselves. So we see in the beginning, there's already DNA written over us that God has created you and I to be like him. Can we go to Genesis 5 as well? Genesis 5 verse 1, please. It says, this is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, he made them in the likeness of God. I want to read a different version. It says here, he made them to be like himself. And what does it mean to be, to share in the likeness of God? Who can tell me? Anyone? To share in the glory. Good. We were called to reflect the character of God, to reflect the nature of God. And we see in the scriptures that God is love. So if we're called to reflect his character, we ought to love like he does. Am I right? We see that love is, the Bible doesn't leave us questioning what love is. It actually tells us. So if we reflect the character of God, we see that love is patient. Love is kind. It's not boastful. It's not envious. It's not self-seeking. It holds no record of wrongs. So if we're going to reflect the character of Christ, we have to reflect him in all things. We're also called to display and share the beauty of God. We're called to walk in the authority that he has given us. And we're also called to walk in and live a life worthy of the glorious call that God has for our lives. And you know what's beautiful? God actually invites each and every one of us here to partner with him in advancing his kingdom. We see in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. And I just want to stop there first. We see God, Jesus comes and he's already been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. So when we do go, because later we often see the scripture and we just emphasize the go and make disciples, but we go in the authority of God. Jesus then says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this. Yeah, he gives us a promise. Be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Isn't that beautiful? That first God invites us to walk in the authority of Jesus, and then also he promises to be with us while doing it. So that's the call of God for each and every one of us. Firstly, to reflect his nature, reflect who he is. And then secondly, to go out and make disciples and teach them about Jesus. And I want to share a little bit of testimony. Recently, I was overseas for a little bit. And before I went, I prayed and I asked God to use me when I was abroad. And I didn't expect it to come so soon. I got onto the flight. I'm sitting in my seat. And initially, nobody was meant to sit next to me. I had an open seat. And this lady, as a French lady, super liberal, she sat in one of the middle aisles in the middle of three people. And she got so claustrophobic, she came to me and asked, can I sit? Yeah, I just need a bit of breathing space. And at the time, I had my Bible on my lap with my earphones in. And she asked me, are you a Christian? So I didn't get the super goosebump Holy Spirit moment. But let me just say, the Holy Spirit was all over that moment. But it wasn't a tingly feeling kind of thing. But as I sat in the plane, she asked me and I took out my earphone. I just said, yeah, I'm a Christian. And I didn't feel a nudge to continue speaking to her, but I thought to myself, why not engage in conversation? So then I asked her about herself, what does she believe? And as a child, she was baptized into a Christian church. And then her mom got hurt by the church. She ended up raising the daughter far away from the church. And then this lady, she ended up exploring Islam, Buddhism, and nature. But it's not like she went through different phases. She was believing all those three things at once. So clearly she was seeking truth. And then the Lord led me to straight time to shoot the gospel, share the gospel with her. And I ended up sharing the gospel with her. And it's a bit awkward sometimes when you're on a flight. And while you're speaking, the lady asked me, I just need the toilet. So I'm thinking, she's probably, yeah, I don't know what to expect. Just for context, she's a French lady. She came to South Africa for activism kind of thing. So she's like super liberal. She came for gender-based violence, LGBTQ, like full on. And then she came for 2 weeks on her way back home. We ended up chatting. So then when she came back from the bathroom, I continued where I left off. Yeah. You have to make these moments count. So then, yeah, continued where I left off. And just by sharing the simple gospel, God started to do something in her heart. She started asking questions, very difficult questions. Like one of the things she asked me is, if God was good, why does good bad things happen to good people? And somehow, through the Holy Spirit, God just gave me scriptures. Scriptures I didn't know that I actually knew. It's just the Holy Spirit. Looking back, I couldn't have done that. And because it was such a long flight, 18 hours or something, I thought to myself, I have my Bible on my lap. You're sitting next to me. You have nowhere to go. I'm not paraphrasing today. No paraphrasing. So then, literally, we read chapters of the Bible together. And literally chapters. And at the end of it, I ended up, when the flight ended up praying for her. And then what's cool is, it's the first time she ever heard the gospel. Secondly, it's the first time she ever heard a Christian preach, or not preach, pray for her. And it's crazy, she was baptized. I'm assuming it was like a sprinkle or something that she can't remember. I mean it respectfully, don't get me wrong. But the fact that God could meet her in a plane, just like that, at the end of the day, when we left, ended up giving her, she asked for my number. Not like that. So I ended up giving her my Bible. And you know when you give someone your Bible, you don't know if they're ever going to read it. You don't know. You trust and you believe that God's going to use it. But you don't know. So then, fast forward a few months, like about a month ago, she messaged me, and I've been back since March. A month ago, she messaged me, Noah, I'm still thinking about you a lot as I'm reading the Bible, and just God can meet someone like this. God changed their life like this in a flight. Another story, also at the airport on my way back, I was sitting waiting to fly back home now, and I'm tired, like I had a long journey, and I see this lady, this Korean lady, she's sitting there, and God gives me a word of knowledge for her. And I'm thinking to myself, like, must I interrupt her now? I felt a bit awkward, so I walked past her like three, four times. Because I was scared, honestly, I was scared. But then I thought to myself, Noah, find your strength in the Lord, it's time to go. So then ended up sharing the word with her, and she's bawling, crying out in the airport. These are testimonies, guys, of someone that's among you. I'm one of you. So in the same way that God uses me, God can use you. Even in my friend circle, one of my friends came to church a few months ago. He got saved here. Luke was preaching. And then a week later, someone that was in my high school class, I ran into her in the shopping mall. And we weren't friends. We were just like classmates. And she started sharing with me just about where she's at in life. And I asked her, can I pray for you? And she was so surprised because on school, I was not the one to be like, hey, let me pray for you, my friend. So then ended up praying for her. And literally, I've never seen someone cry like that in a mall, honestly. Like the way God touched her, it's insane. And what's beautiful is that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in all of you. It's in us. Once you become a believer, God changes you. He gives you authority. So my encouragement this morning to all of us here, open yourselves up to be used by God. God's given each of us specific gifts for His glory, to advance the kingdom. Some of you guys can bake. Some of you guys can cook. Those things all play a part in the kingdom. I remember as a young boy, there was this lady in our church, Sister Joni. She would always come having these crunchy biscuits, and it would make me excited for church as a kid. And I think those are little things that God can use in this space. The church is meant to be a family. You know, you have the grandma that bakes, this person that does this and that. And I want to encourage us this morning. God has called you for something more than where we're at. All of us, we have more. To the older generation, I want to encourage you. Disciple the young guys. Disciple me. I need to be discipled. There's so much I can learn from all the older guys here. To the young guys, my friends, my peers, I want to encourage you. Go to the older people and avail yourself to be discipled. God can do a beautiful work in each and every one of us. And I know some of us are in different stages of life. Some people are, for example, Aunt and Josie. They're about to give birth. Like, people are in different stages of life. I'm a young guy, single. Like, where I'm at, I mean, we're all in different stages of life. But God can use us wherever we're at, in our lives. So I want to encourage you, even if you feel tired, you feel exhausted, put in the work. Disciple the young, the generation. And one thing I want to, that God has been really speaking to me about is prayer. Pray for the service. Pray for church. And I believe God will do something amazing in our midst. We on the cusp of having a church plant coming soon. Isn't that exciting? But you know what that means? It means hard work for each and every one of us. You can't be a... Remember, with the church plant, it's planting. So there's going to be space. Meaning there's going to be space for you to fill the gap. And God has called you to step out and advance His kingdom. So I'm going to hand over to Gala to share a bit on the gifts of the Spirit. And yeah, he's going to take it further.
Don't they say the most attractive thing in a man is his relationship with the Lord, eh? That's what she was seeing on the plane. I'm joking. No, that's amazing, eh? Oh. The glory. The glory of the Lord, not the glory of man. I think it's so encouraging because it's like, oh man, what Noah's experiencing, I want to experience. And I think that's sometimes where the enemy tries to come and he tries to say, that's for Noah, you know, it's not for you. And I think I was just feeling now while he was sharing, it's almost like he wants to come for two areas. One, he wants to say you don't have the authority. So he wants to say you don't have what it takes. God hasn't given you the portion. And the other one he wants to do is he wants to say God won't be with you when you step out. Like, but the command that Jesus said, that Noah shared, was no, I will be with you always. So I think there are some lies that we need to fight against, we need to war against, because we'll be a deficient people if we don't. And there's an aspect of God that when we get saved, He apportions His Spirit to each one of us in a different way. The scripture says it's the same Spirit, but manifested in a different way. Now that word manifested has been twisted in our generation, but that is the manifestation of God's Holy Spirit in your life, a display of God's power in your life. When you come to Christ, there is a display, a deposit that God gives you to actually minister to His church. And the goal is always love and the advancing of His kingdom. So many people have amazing gifts, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit are specific so that we would minister to one another, the kingdom would advance. There's an amazing scripture where Paul, and we'll go into Corinthians, Paul's speaking about how to actually have order when the Holy Spirit is moving. And the Corinthian people are very interesting because they actually, like, Paul almost needs to rein them in a bit, which is, there's like, they're just eager. They're just like, wow, I've experienced this power, this is amazing, and they want to go for it. Paul never tells them to stop operating in the Holy Spirit, but he does give them guidance in how to make sure it's directed to love, and to the building up of the body. So gifts are, I've got the words here, the gifts are for the, gifts are to the body, for the body. The gifts are to every single person in Christ. The Holy Spirit apportions gifts. So maybe we can pull up the scripture in Corinthians, which speaks about, so 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. And if you have your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians 12, make a mark, and spend some time in 12, 13, and 14, because it's an amazing passage in your own God time. Cool. Maybe we can, cool, we pulled it up. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing between spirits. People often use the words gift of discernment. You're able to actually notice, you're able to discern what's going on at a deeper level in someone. To another, speaking in different tongues, in different kinds of tongues, and still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines. I think it's an exciting part of our journey where we go like, wow, this is the fun part. Like, I've died, I'm in Christ, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, he's actually given me something that I can go and use that is not in my own strength, but is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And each one has been given something different. So it's actually not for us to look at the other person and say, I want what he has. It's to ask, Lord, what have you put in me? And I want to desire that. And as I'm reading, this is an example, but I'm going to put a list up just now of all the examples of the gifts of the Spirit that we see in Scripture. And it's not the only list. God can apportion all sorts of gifts that he wants to use through you. But it's a good starting place. And when we do go, and I put it up on the board, maybe we can actually do that already. I want you to just have a look. I'll read through some of them. It might be hard to read. But I'm going to go through some of them. And I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, which one's for me? Which one are you burning on my heart to trust for more? Because Paul says, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Where's the scripture? So then, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything is to be done decently and in order. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit. There's this aspect of, I'm not going to spend my time drinking wine. I'd rather spend my time being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we come into Christ. He gives us this measure, but we can continue to ask him for the infilling of the Holy Spirit to equip us. So let's go through a few of these. Word of wisdom. Okay, as I say them, just ask the Lord, is this something you want to trust for today, for a greater measure? Or maybe you recognize this is actually already in you, and you want to actually be eager for it and desire it. Word of wisdom. The word of knowledge. So word of wisdom is wisdom to apply God's truth to a situation. Word of knowledge, Spirit-given insight that helps build others up. So that would be an example of what Noah shared with, Korean lady, sorry. Apologies. Not a word of knowledge. Faith. I would say Hans, for example, is an amazing gift of faith. If you spend time with Hans, you're like, oh, okay, come on, you know? And it's an unusual confidence in God for a specific need. Gifts of healing. I would say Jean has a gift of healing, and she actually has a word for someone that we'll release later. God healing sickness through Spirit-empowered ministry. Working of miracles. Divine power beyond ordinary natural means. Prophecy, and prophecy is an amazing one. Paul says, eagerly desire the gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And prophecy is powerful because it encourages whoever you prophesy to. It's always encouraging, and it's something that I think we should all be desiring. But what I also felt when preparing for this was that actually the Lord says, do not despise prophecy. Do not treat it with contempt. It says, weigh it up, test it. But it's a weighty thing when someone prophesies. And I think we must be careful as a people who do regularly have people sharing words and overflowing, that we don't just take these words for granted. But when someone stands up here and they say, I get the sense that X, Y, Z, that we say, Lord, like, that could be you. And we test it and we weigh it up. And if it is, we take it seriously. So we are going to release some words in a bit. And if you do already feel the word potentially for the congregation, already start asking the Lord, what does it look like? And maybe you can share it with me and we might be able to release it. So the gift of prophecy is profound and it's very powerful. Cool. Moving on. Tongues, interpretation of tongues. I have an amazing story of this. We have a friend, they're twins from Stellenbosch, Mike and Gabe. Some of you might know them. And they were studying theology at Stellenbosch University, because theology at Stellenbosch University, I think, is one of the top ranked in South Africa. But they were hypercritical about a lot of things about Christianity. And one of the things that they were unsure of was, does the Spirit move in the powers of these sorts of gifts? And what does it look like? And we invited them to one of the conferences. And at the time, they'd been studying Greek and Hebrew in class that day, that Friday. And we arrived, and it was one of the first conferences after COVID. And this person gets up, and they speak a public tongue. So what Scripture says is, when a public tongue comes, someone must interpret it. Okay? So it says here, tongues, Spirit-enabled speech unknown to the speaker. Interpretation gives the meaning so others are edified. And also so that unbelievers will come to believe. That's also what Scripture says. When they watch this example. Now, what happened with these two guys? This public tongue came, and both of them turned to each other, and he said, this morning, I was studying Greek, and what they said was Greek. And I asked for confirmation from him on voice note, just to make sure, and what had happened is that God had spoken something of, like, I don't know exactly what it was that they had said, but they had been studying Greek that morning. And they understood that what they were saying was in Greek, something to do with Jesus Christ. And from that point on, they have been convinced that this is how God works. And I think we must be careful to use our mind before we allow God to move in power. It's very easy for us to say, yeah, but I don't know. But when you see it happen in front of you, there's no denying what you just experienced. And I think that is how we should actually let the word filter and let the word apply to our lives. And then there's times where the word says something, you don't believe it. But because we've seen God work so many times, we're actually going to step out in faith and trust him, and we see him come through. Lungiswa is looking at me saying, yes, she's experienced that. So it's super encouraging. And I'd really encourage us to really start trusting the Lord for. Did I skip one? Oh, distinguishing spirits. Cool. So that would be like discerning. Thanks so much. That would be discerning spirits. So maybe some of you walk into a room and you just feel off. Potentially worth looking into that gift as something that God wants to use. And often you actually feel like you need to get out of that room. But that doesn't always mean you should. Sometimes it actually means you've got authority and you can step into that space. So, yeah, I think that's a very powerful gift. Especially when praying with people and trying to discern what's at the lower level, what's going on. Cool. Service or helps, I don't think we use the word helps, but we do use service, and that's practical help that strengthens the body. Spiritual gift, eh? Come on. You can supernaturally serve in a capacity that maybe you haven't served before. I think that's an incredible one it's not a very glory-filled one, but it's an incredible one to actually trust the Lord for more of. Teaching, explaining and applying God's word faithfully. There are many really incredible teachers among us. And people who, they just have that ability. Luke would be one of them. Who just, when he explains the word, it's just like, I get it, you know? And that's incredible wisdom. Exhortation, encouragement. My wife is absolutely an encourager. And I think we have a lot of encouragers. But it's like, I love like spending time or discipling someone, having a conversation. Because I'm thinking like, what's the truth? And how do we bring this across? And Jean's thinking, how can I encourage them? And we're like, you just feel like a great combination, you know? And you need that encouraging gift to make things work, yeah. Cool, giving, generous sharing for God's work and others' needs. If you know how to make money, be careful. The Lord will test you. I think a lot of us are like, yes, I want to go make it in the workplace. God will give me all of this money, and I'm going to have the gift of generosity. Be careful if you ask that gift for that gift, because God's going to ask you to sacrifice. He's going to ask you to lay down your life and to sow, because he knows you're able to generate wealth for the kingdom to advance. Very little can move forward without money. It's just a very practical aspect of the kingdom. So all the businessmen, go for it. We need you. Cool. Leadership. Yeah, I think guiding, caring for, and directing people diligently. I think to a certain degree, all of us have leadership. Every decision you make, you're leading others. But then you also see an outpouring of just wisdom in how to lead people. You often see the prophets and the leaders work together. The prophets are like, hey, there's a problem down there. I'm like, okay, cool. And then the leader needs to work out how we actually practically navigate this new territory and where to go. What I love about leadership is lead diligently and zealously. Those are the two translations. So there's an aspect of leadership. Often the devil will try to pull you back from leadership, and we see this especially with men in society. He tries to pull you down. He tries to trample on you. But actually, we need to be zealous in stepping forward, especially as leaders when God calls you to be courageous, but do it diligently. Do it faithfully. Do it consistently. Be an example consistently, not just a one-time shot. But I think that that's a powerful gift that we need to raise up. Actually, I'm sorry to do this, John. Do you mind sharing the word about the men that you shared with, about what you felt about for the men in our congregation last week? Is that cool? I just feel like it might be applicable.
Sorry, I was chatting to Gala last week, and I told him that I felt like we're at the cusp of something as a congregation, and God wants to move powerfully. And the one image that God showed me was, as birds are migrating, they do it in a V shape. So the bird in front like breaks the wind resistance, and all of them just come flying through it because the resistance has already been broken. And I really got a strong sense that Lord wanted to use the men, not the boys, the men, all of you, the men in our congregation to break through that spiritual resistance so that all of us can come into the more that God has for us.
Amazing, come on. Don't share a word with me and not expect to share it on the mic. Thanks, Sean, for last minute. But I do think that's an important word, and I feel like that's maybe fitting, especially talking about leadership, that as men, we can't be drawing back. We need to be the ones advancing, stepping through, creating the room for everyone else to flourish. Okay, so take that as you hear it from the Lord. Mercy, just having compassion and care for the hurting and the weak. The mercy gift is so needed. It's so important. I would encourage mercy gifts to partner with someone that isn't a mercy gift, because sometimes the mercy gift can get very overwhelmed and not know how to handle the emotions. But I think there's a maturity that the mercy gift can learn to have, which is, how do I hold this person close but keep their problems at an arm's length? And I think that's an important skill that maybe we can pray. If you do feel like you have the mercy gift afterwards, we can pray for you that you'll learn how to manage that and how to love people really well, but also keep their problems at an arm's length so that you can show the right kind of mercy. And then the gift of administration, the Danelles, the Phils, the like such power gifts. But I think, it doesn't always need to look like the typical administration gift. So I think definitely if you have that gift, try and use it in whichever way you can. And then the gift of singleness. Hey. But anyway, we see that in Scripture. We see that in Scripture. If God is calling you to singleness, God will empower you supernaturally. Cool. We're going to, in a bit, just, I've asked two people to share what was it like on their journey actually discovering their gift, because I think sometimes that's helpful as well. It's easy to put the scriptures up, but to actually go, like, what does it look like for me? How do I actually go and start discovering that. But I do want to remind us of a scripture. 1 Corinthians 14:25 says that this has got to do with people sharing prophecies in the church service, in the Corinthian church, and unbelievers sitting there, and unbelievers being convicted. And it says that as they prophesy, the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. God is really among you. And I think that's what these spiritual gifts really do, because we come empty and God does something. And the only answer, the only response to the operation of the Holy Spirit is God is really among you. God is really there. And I think we should start to fan that flame and really start to ask the Lord to rekindle that desire in us if it's been lost, to have encounters with God, power scenarios with God. And this is not the be all and end all spiritual gifts, but it's a massive aspect of our walk with God. And we're deficient if we're not seeing the move of God. One, it might start to get us to start to question even our own faith if we're not seeing the work of God in our lives. But it's an amazing way for unbelievers to actually see and say, wow, there's really something real about the God that you believe in. So we're going to give an opportunity to pray for people in this area. But maybe, Debs, could you come and share how your journey's been with spiritual gifts? Debs is very strong in prophecy.
Thank you. Gala took all my scriptures, so I'm not going to, I've got one left that will encourage us. And this has really been encouraging for me, especially this year, just asking God to kind of stretch me in this gift. And it's Paul speaking to Timothy, and he says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And touching on what Noah said, like God is with you when you step out. And I can't actually remember the first time I publicly prophesied in church, but I do remember being newly saved and being invited to a prophetic evening with a lady called Julie Dalal, who is a prophetess, and being absolutely terrified as a new believer, going like, this chick is going to expose everything I've ever done. Like, it's so scary. And it's so funny, the thing that I was most scared of, God's actually used me powerfully in. And always remembering that prophecy is always for the strengthening, encouraging, and comfort of the church. So two things that kind of God reminded me of on my journey is to find those mentorship kind of moments, to really ask God to stretch you in the area that you feel like he's gifted you in. So for me, that was Liz East. I don't know if you guys remember Liz, but incredible gift of prophecy. And what she did is she created a group called Iron Sharpens Iron. And it was such a stretching group, because she would get us together every couple of months and go like, okay, cool, like we're all prophetic here, but I want to stretch you in gifts of knowledge. So, like, ask God for, like, gifts of knowledge. And she challenged us to ask for gift of knowledge, like, in our day-to-day lives. And that really, really stretched me. And then, secondly, like, I don't feel like it's just for the prophetic. But when you get newly saved and when you feel like God's given you a gift, ask how he speaks to you. So for me, that was like dreams or pictures in worship, and like not caring about the people around you. I think so often, like, we put ourselves into that gift. And for me, he's given me a very special thing. My heart starts beating like it's going to beat out of my chest. And I actually feel like it's disobedient to not, like, bring the word. So even if the word is maybe not right for this context, or it's to encourage, like, Gallo or Hans or Luke or whoever's leading the meeting, if my chest starts beating like that, I will go up. And Michelle and I used to call it, or we still do, like the walk of shame, because you'll go up and maybe your word's not released. Like, who cares? Like, it's not about you. Like, if you go up 100 times and your word is still not released, at least you're being obedient to God. And that's really, like, encouraged me and kind of taken me out of the way. And I think that's it, like, finding those mentorship, like, relationships and really, like, asking them to, like, challenge you on that gift, fan that gift into flame, like, stretch you, grow you. Because it's not for you, it's for, like, the strengthening and encouragement. The church, we all need to be stepping out in whatever God has gifted you in. And I think that's it.
Right, I feel like I've been here a lot, but anyway, let me find my phone because I made notes. Sorry, I'm just going to my notes, so you can look at me. Nice. Hey, JD. Sorry. When Gala asked me to share, I was like, ish, I don't know if I should share. So Matthew just woke up and I was like, babes, what do you think? And he's like, I don't know, pray about it. And I'm like, huh? And the reason why I was hesitant is because at the beginning of this year, the Lord was like, I want you to be wild again. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know? And I've been sitting on this thing for like a long time. And then a couple months ago, we're watching Madagascar 1, great movie. And if you know Alex the lion, you know, when he's in the zoo, he's like, rawr, you know. And that's all he does, you know, just entertains those people. And then when they go into the jungle, he actually becomes a proper lion, you know. And his friend, the zebra, is scared, but that's what he's meant to be. He's meant to be a lion. And I was watching that, and the Lord was like, you have built this zoo around you that I did not call you to build. Go into the jungle again. So as I'm sharing, I hope if you've never been in the jungle, you'll be encouraged to step into the jungle. And if you are in the jungle and have just built this zoo that God hasn't called you to be in, that even as Noah shared, I was like, yes, Lord, this is it, you know, that you'd be encouraged to go on adventures with God again. That's what it is. He's calling us to go on adventures with him. And that's what these gifts are, you know. It's for us to be on adventures with him. So I'm going to share on healing and discernment, or discerning spirits, however, whatever Bible translation you have. And usually I don't think about stuff because I really don't think about stuff that deeply. But when Gala sent me the message, I was like, what do you mean? When did this start, you know? So now I had to think. So I started thinking, and I realized when I got saved, it's like this is what I got saved into. So I got saved when I was 17, and at the time we had youth, which is basically every Friday, it's a young thing for teenagers at church, and would go there. And it was so normal on a Friday to see healing, to see people getting set free from spirits that are not of the Lord. That was like a normal thing for us. And it was so normal on Sunday to come in and to just see someone on the floor just completely beholding the Lord, or on the floor like full of joy and laughing for hours. That was a normal Sunday for me. And I remember the one Friday, because we're just this crazy teenagers. We're like, okay guys, whose legs are not the same height? And we put people on the chair, and if your leg wasn't the same height, we'd pray. And physically, people's legs were growing, and that was normal. And it became this thing of every Friday, you wanted to have a cooler testimony than your friend. That was it. Like during the week, you're like, God, what's the adventure? Because I want to have the coolest testimony on Friday. And that's what I got saved into. So it was always a thing of God can do it, and are you willing? Are you willing to go on the adventure with him? And that was my exposure to healing. So it was never like maybe God would do it. It's like, no, he's eager, and he's eager to go on this adventure with you. And that's the thing that God has been reawakening in me. Like, are you eager? Like, come and be eager again, you know? And that thing of, like, discerning spirits, and that comes with deliverance, right? So, because if the spirit is not of the Lord, it has to come out, guys. We don't entertain those things. Hello? So it has to leave, you know? And I was so scared of this because if maybe you're like me and you grew up in a house where your mom played TBN, you know that there's a point where one of the pastors would be like, how long have you been here? Who sent you? And they're speaking to this demon. And you get so scared and you're like, oh my word, I don't want to ever come close to anything like this, you know? And that's what I grew up with. And that was the definition of deliverance. So every time someone would say deliverance, I'm like, Lord, please, I don't want to see it. And at church, my mom would be like, close your eyes, close them very hard so that it doesn't come in you. That was, like, honestly, that was the reality of my life. And then I got saved, and I was scared of this. And I would come to church, and every Sunday, because I would see the Holy Spirit move. And where there's the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom. So things will come out, because Jesus is way more hungry for our freedom than we are, you know. And I'd come to church and be like, Lord, please, not me. I know there's things, but not me. I don't want this, you know. And I remember we went on an outreach to Malawi, and the one guy who was on team with us, he was just like, I want to see a witch doctor get saved. And I was like, no, you don't. You really don't. And I was very particular about saying no, because I was the translator on the team. And I'm like, it means I'm going to have to go there with you and translate. And I'm so scared of this thing. We do not mess with this. Like, let it be. And on our last night before we flew out, it's like, guys, we've been on this trip. It's been amazing. But I have not seen a witch doctor get saved. We're going to find one. I was like, I'll stay here. And they're like, no, you can't stay. We need you because we need someone who speaks the language. I was like, Lord. So all the way there, walking to find this guy, I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, please, like, you know me. You know my fears, not today. And we get there to this witch doctor's house. And he's obviously going like, okay, Kujans, tell him this. And I'm like, okay, now I have to translate because I can't say I've translated when I haven't. So I'm now translating. And this guy gets scared and goes into his house. And his wife comes out, and I'm like, what's happening? And she said, the man has run away because of the light that you guys are carrying. And you have to understand, we're in a village where there's no electricity, and it was dark. And this man was hiding from the power of God. And from that day onwards, I was like, what do you mean? I'm not scared because of the authority of Christ. You know, so because of that, I come to church every Sunday. You can ask my husband. I'm always like, I wonder what's going to come out during worship today. Because I'm like, I know the power that God carries. And it's made me excited to ask God for more. And I'm like, God, what's there that's not of you? Even with me, you know, you can ask Zanda. I do like telling her, hey, Zandi, I think there's something here. Because I'm just so eager. I'm like, what's there that's not of you? Because things have to come out so the Holy Spirit can come and fill us in more. And that was my journey. And also, like Debbie says, find people who walk in it, you know? Like Noah is excited about, like, reaching out to people and evangelizing. If that's something you're scared about, just be like, hey, Noah, can I come hang out with you for a day? Because you're going to catch it. It's contagious. It's positive peer pressure. You catch it, and then you go like, okay, now I'm hungry for it, you know? And that's how all these giftings were birthed inside of me, and even the ones I'm still desiring. It's because I've seen it in someone. And I'm like, I don't just want to hear the stories. I'm that person. I don't want to be like, oh, that was cool, they did it. I'm always like, God, if they did it, I can do it. So please use me, you know? That's the hunger inside of me. And I hope that this morning I'm stirred. Like after Noah shared, I'm like, yes, Lord. I hope we all stirred to be like, God, would you do it with me? Would I be part of the adventures? Would I be part of the story? Would I be the one being like, so guys, this week this happened? You know why? Because God is eager and he loves to do it.
Amazing. Yeah, and I'm just aware that there might be some people who have seen abuses of the Holy Spirit sitting among us, and it's like really hard for you to hear what John has just said. And I think the important thing is that we don't, you know, abuse doesn't mean we must now It's not about now non-use, it's about proper use and about it being directed. And that's why I love what Paul essentially said to the Corinthian church. He said, he didn't say stop doing what you're doing. He guided it into two places, in love and for the building up of his kingdom. And so if we are zealous and we're going for it and we're keeping those two things in mind, for love and for the building up of his kingdom, we can trust that God is going to keep us safe and God is going to go ahead of us. And that God really does want to pour his spirit out in a fresh measure this morning. So why don't we just close our eyes and we're going to allow some time for the Holy Spirit to do that. I think time is an important aspect that God is asking of us in our days. Time where you just go for a walk and you just say, God, I'm available. Time to just spend time in the Word. Time for God to actually interrupt your life. So Lord, we give you time now. We give you time to speak to each one of us. As you speak to God, ask God what gifts has he either put in you or you are hungry to receive from his Holy Spirit. And while you're doing that, there might be some of you that have never actually experienced God and given your life to him. You've never actually said, God, I want what these people have. I want to be close to you. I want to experience a true relationship with you. I want to experience what it's like to have your Holy Spirit fill me up. Maybe you've been running from God and you know today's the day you give your life back to him. Maybe as Jean said, your heart is beating and you know that God is prompting you this morning to come to him and to say, I can't do anything, Lord, but I want you and I want relationship with you. The good news is that Christ, Jesus Christ, died on a cross thinking about you. Jesus really loves you. If you're here and you're sitting and you've got those questions, Jesus really loves you and he thought of you on the cross. And it's as simple as saying, Lord, I want you again. I'm sorry for the life I've been living and I want you again. Maybe you have known the Lord and you've turned away from him and you realize you want Jesus again. You want to leave the world behind that you've been living and you want to come back to him. If that's you, we'd love to just pray with you quickly. So if you don't mind just raising your hand and we'll pray a prayer with you which just helps you on that process. So if there's anyone here who doesn't know the Lord but wants to know the Lord or has turned away from the Lord, just raise your hand and we'll pray with you. It's a moment between you and God. Cool. And then for us who have experienced the love of God and given our lives to him, what's that thing that he's putting on your heart to step out and to trust him? Spirit, would you come pour out your spirit now? Come and pour out whatever gifts you want to apportion to each of us, Lord. Yeah, Lord, we're eagerly desiring to receive more of your Holy Spirit. You're free, Lord. You're free to come and pour out your spirit right now.
just feel like for people who have been saved for a really long time and they've heard this message, it's almost like a spirit of disbelief on you. Like, this is not, I've heard this before, but it's not for me. But God is encouraging you to fight against that thought of disbelief and stand up and commit that thing that you have been praying for or hoping for a really long time to, yeah, just give it back to God and break that spirit.
Yeah, so if there's anyone that just feels like that resonates with him, if you'd be brave enough to just stand and we'll just pray with you. If you feel like you're doubting whether God wants to use you. Is there anyone? Okay. Oh, come on. Come on. Break that. Yes. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, let's just stretch out our hands to these friends of ours. Yeah, Lord, we just thank you for the amazing deposit of gold you've put in every single one of them, Lord. Pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would unlock, untap new wells in these people. New wells. Untap new wells right now, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Pour out your Spirit on these brave souls to say, I want more. God, and Tundle, we just break that fear of man, and right now, in Jesus' name, we break that fear of man. I feel like something at school or something just took root that got you to think that you need to just follow the highway. You're not called to follow the highway, Tundle. You're not called to follow the highway. The road is narrow. The Lord is calling you out. Going to release a few other words.
I felt, well, the picture I got in my mind was of a seesaw and someone going up and down, and I felt that that represents someone maybe in this crowd who is indecisive about a decision that they have to make out of fear of making the wrong decision, and you find yourself seesawing, yes, no, maybe, you know, weighing up the pros and cons, but it's keeping you stuck. And I felt the Lord wants to have you run again and in the right direction, wants to give you ground. And I felt that he wants you to make a decision out of faith and not fear. And maybe weigh it up with people in your life who know you well to help you make this decision. But make it out of faith and run. And I felt the Lord is gonna bless you and he's going to be there with you. But yeah, we're not called to fear. We're called to faith.
Sometimes with that, you need a breakthrough. It's like a spiritual act. So I almost feel like you're the people God wants to use to pray for others. You're the people that God wants to say, I want to use you. Are you willing? Anyone that feels like they actually want to be used right now and actually come and stand here so that we can give a chance to those people who actually want to pray, get prayer for more to be prayed for. So if you feel like you've got a gift, but you haven't been exercising it, you haven't been stepping out, would you be bold enough to come stand here and be someone that can pray for others? Maybe it's the gift of healing. There was a word I think Jean felt for someone, a gift of healing. Maybe it's gift of faith. You want to pray for faith for someone. So if you want to step out and you know you've got gifts that you haven't been using, why don't you come stand here and you can be available to pray for people. We're the men. Come on, guys. We're the men.
Actually, just on the men, I really feel like there's a spirit of timidity over the men in this church. And I really feel like, especially with the older guys that maybe have kids, you feel like you've led your family inadequately. And the Lord's saying, no, I've placed the spirit of power in you. And over every one of the men in this church, he's placed you specifically. He's placed you here so that you can come up and build his church. And it's off of your backs that the church will grow. So if you're struggling with a spirit of fear that you feel like you're inadequate to be a part or lead the church, come up, be bold.
Yeah, so I think the heart there is really, you don't need to have proven yourself to be right with God before you can be used by God. So if you feel disqualified in any way, but you know that God still wants to use you, Kyle, Brew, I feel like the Lord wants to use you, Brew. We know it. Don't feel disqualified. Yeah, don't feel disqualified. Cool. And then for those who just want a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in some way, why don't you come up here, find someone that looks like someone comfortable that you would be willing to pray with. The elders will be up as well. And come and just share, what is that gift that you're trusting for to receive more of? And if there's even some of you here that want to exercise it but also want to trust for more, turn to the person next to you. But we want to create a space just to actually have prayer to receive more of the Holy Spirit. Do you have something?
I feel like Noah, don't you want to come? I feel like there's what Noah was sharing. Yeah? He was calling us out. I feel like there's another call needs to go out from you. And then I think there's more, especially of the guys. God seems to be touching on some of the men. So I want you to just call out those men again, bro. And let's get them to stand.